if the music is supposed to be prettier, you know, I would probably do that. You know, those decisions are made based on the circumstances, where I'm playing, what I'm trying to project, and whether the musical lines are making sense.
Every classical guitarist has a different tone. Many classical guitarists like that very round and dark tone, very bassy tone. And you have actually the opposite of that. You have a very direct and straight tone. Where is it coming from? Or why do you choose this kind of sound? What are the advantages, or what's the thinking behind it?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, and so, yeah, basically the reason I use the tone that I use is because it is a function of why I, you know, how I play the guitar. You know, since I'm playing concerts, you know, and my interest is that everyone in a hall can actually hear this, the sound of the music I play. You know, so from that perspective, something to understand about frequencies is that, like, this warmer sort of frequencies. They're very appealing to a microphone, you know, and they're very appealing to someone who's standing really close, but acoustically they don't travel very far, you know. So if you're playing in a room that is, let's say, from here to there, you know, a warm tone is attractive all the way here, but then after this point, you know, it can't really travel all the way to the back of a hall. As people, if someone is sitting here, what they're hearing becomes really incoherent. So what you need is a tone that can actually come through. And so my tone has to be brighter because it needs to be able to deliver a musical point across, you know, to the back of a hall. So that's a very specific set of circumstances, you know, but that's the reason why I use it. Now, having said that, you know, here's an interesting detail. You know, if you think about some of the guitarists in our history that are better known for their tones, like, say, Segovia or Julian Bream, if you actually listen closely, you'll realize that actually their tones are not dark. They're actually really quite bright. There's a video of a live performance of Julian Bream playing the Malcolm Arnold concerto. You can hear at different points that he actually plays with the brightness of a flamenco player. You know, and lines that wouldn't necessarily need that. But say, something like that. So he's really playing, you know, at that, with that level of that level of harshness, you know. And so, but I can imagine that if you're in the hall with an orchestra, that is exactly the right sound to use. I mean, if you don't have that, and if you go for, that's pleasing to a microphone, but not to a hall, you know. So yeah. So these are types of choices that a musician has to make, you know. So yeah. By the way, that leads to another point, and that is that when we talk about tone, the way I explain it to students is that we shouldn't be thinking about good tone or bad tone. What we need to think about is good sense of tone or bad sense of tone, and by which I mean that your concept of tone is basically an understanding of the properties of sound, you know, from an acoustical perspective and also from a psychological perspective. In other words, how a certain quality of tone affects a listener, you know, and you need to understand what those properties are, roughly speaking, and then you need to constantly make decisions with regards to your tone, depending on what circumstances you're dealing with. As such, for example, if I was playing in sort of an intimate setting, like say in a room, in a small room like this, and no one else is listening, so I'm not going to be using this necessarily. If the music is supposed to be prettier, you know, I would probably do that. I would probably use that, and that would be pretty enough and captivating enough. But that is provided that the musical content implies that this is supposed to be pretty. But if it's supposed to be more rigid, like, you know, this is a very straightforward, happy idea, then I would probably go back to this. The tones that we make are not actually, it's not only one, it's actually just the sum of several levels of decisions that I have to take, you know. So yeah, depending on context, I have to use a certain tone. I don't always use like bright tones, but what I do use is a tone that is probably the most concise and can deliver the point across. So as such, give you an example from the New World Symphony, since I've been playing it recently. So late in the piece, there's this section. In that, you know, so it's not just one. So like say here, we started with this really dark and clear sort of sound, and then it brightened, you know, progressively. And the reason I'm making that choice is because the line is ascending, you know, so it's da, 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 da. So if I use the same tone, then the line wouldn't appear to ascend. You know, you have a, so yeah, that just does not work, you know, and the reason is because acoustically that darker sound is not increasing in intensity, you know, it's decreasing as you're going higher in the register, you know, the tones become less and less clear. So instead, I'm trying to clarify the texture so it appears to grow. So here, first string, but it's not no longer this one, but which is different from, and there's this line over here, for example. So the inner line, okay, so this one, here's a little bit of acoustic knowledge of acoustics that's involved in this. So this is a lower line. If you play it with a darker sound, then the tone, the pitch of the melody becomes unclear, which means you can't make out the melodic content of the line all that easily. So if I play, that's not as impactful as say here. So what I had to do is I had to brighten it because of the acoustical properties of the guitar. You know, this. Or, with a brighter sound, you can hear the way that the notes are inflected to the vibrato, and you know, so it's ultimately more expressive by being brighter. You know, now here. Thank you. that sequence that's going from first string to second string to eventually third string sounds like the same melody, right? And it's color coordinated, so all of it sounds like the same phrase. But I'm actually in a very subtle way brightening the tone as I'm moving from the first string to the second string to the third string. If I don't do that, then the color becomes a little disjointed. So to show you here, first string to a dark second string and from a darker third string. So now they sound very separated by colors. So I need to go from here instead of that to that. So of course, and then the continuation of this line is here. And so notice that what I've done is just match the color of the third string to the fourth, so it seems like still the line is still connected. And so and now I'm going to deliberately drop the color. So basically, and the point of that, musically speaking, is that I have the line going in this direction, you know, so that's specifically controlled. So to the point of the tone itself, or the choice of tones that I use, you know, number one, you know, I don't use the same tone every time, you know, but to the extent that it is clear and direct is decided, you know, those decisions are made based on the circumstances, where I'm playing, what I'm trying to project, and whether the musical lines are making sense. So, and it's not the same quality of tone every time, it's just controlled, so the musical narrative is making sense, or at least it's making sense to me, you know. So yeah, there's, you know, usually much more intricate work in playing than just placing your fingers and then starting to move them. You actually have to control tones, you know. But it, of course, it's tough, and you know, and of course there's always the fact that, you know, in a room where you're playing, not everyone is sitting in the same place. So if you're sitting close, then the tone is going to seem much more aggressive, you know. But that is no different than, like, say you going to see a public speaker and sitting in the front of the hall. That's going to sound very loud and less coherent to you. But if you're sitting in the back, it's going to sound more coherent to you, you know. So those are the problems of performance, you know, like nothing you can do about it, you know. But anyway, like, that's as far as, like, tone goes. That's just think of it as an introduction to all of the nuance that goes into placing the right sound, you know. It's quite complicated, and probably the thing that we spend all of our lifetimes trying to understand as musicians, you know, how sound actually operates, how it speaks, how it creates an emotion, how people feel it, you know. So the more we travel this professional road, the more we understand. So.